Welcome to Curmudgeon? I was going to say Curmudgeon. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, July 26, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with me as usual. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Are you okay? You're going to collapse on me today? I mean, what's the problem?
I don't think I'm going to collapse, but, you know, you never know. And this week, I remembered to put the microphone in front of me, you know?
Well, that's good. That's very good. That's a big improvement.
It is.
Yes, I can hear you much better.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I'm, you know, I am, my chair squeaks a little bit. You know, I should probably do something about that. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Perhaps put some oil.
Maybe. You know, or maybe just get a new chair. I don't know. You know, if it's squeaky, get a new chair.
You know, that sounds like a solution my wife would do. You've got a squeaky chair. You can put oil in it, for crying out loud. You're going all the way. You're going to just buy a new chair. I mean, this stuff is fixable.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
love of God.
You know, speaking of fixing, I was going to do this later in the show, but we might as well do now. You know, I've mentioned to Yvonne a few times on this show how, you know, I've got a variety of audiovisual things, but I have not upgraded any of them to HD at this point. And this is like years after like HD has started to become fairly common. It's like,
when is the last time you bought something? I mean, like that. I believe you have a projector, which is where you watch like stuff in the living room, correct? Because I've never seen this
in our family room. Yep. So,
how old is it?
2003.
Wow. Damn.
I think, or maybe 2004, but no, I think it was 2003. You know, I bought it. At the same time, I bought my house in Pennsylvania.
Okay, that probably sounds like 2003.
I think it was like the fall of 2003, because it was 2004 when I moved down to Florida. And basically, you know, what I've said before is, look, television... My computer's talking. Okay, alert, blah, 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 blah. It's all in my headphones, so I'm sure none of you can hear, but I have the computer set to do the stupid thing where when it does alerts, it reads out loud to you, and so some random thing my computer is doing decided to talk and, you know, anyway, distracted me. Anyway, to continue, so the setup I've had for years now, since 2003, so 7 years or so, is that in the family room, I've had a projector set up so that, you know, all of our TiVos, DVD player, all of that kind of stuff, go to the projector. I've never bothered with the screen. Just put it on a nice blank white wall. Looks pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, you could make it look a little bit better with a projector, but we've always felt, you know, the wall was fine. Anyway, this was not full HD. It was like 800 by 600 or something. I forget. So like you could, when you're watching a DVD.
So that's ED.
Yeah. It's like ED.
ED.
ED. Yeah. So you could, when you were watching a DVD or whatever, you could get better resolution than a regular television. But like, you know, for television, you're just looking at at regular standard definition. We've had DirecTV TiVos, which were SD. There was a HD DirecTiVo, but it was it only covered the older version of HD and doesn't work with the current HD offerings by DirecTV, and we never upgraded to that anyway. So we have two standard definition TiVos, one for me and Brandy, one for Amy, and most of the television we watch at this point is actually we watch on sling boxes on our lap. On our computers, you know, laptop, desktop, whatever, but on the computers. And so, you know, as HD just never sort of came to the top of the list, let's say. It was always a matter of, Okay, well, first of all, we're watching this over a sling box. It's got network degradation anyway. The quality's not really going to make that much of a difference. And, you know, if we really wanted to do that, we'd, you know, first of all, I know they have the other boxes, but I still like TiVos. So until there's a new DirecTV HD TiVo, which theoretically is sometime this year, but who knows if that's ever going to happen. You know, that would mean moving to cable off of DirecTV. It would mean upgrading our sling boxes as well as our TiVos. I want to get a third TiVo so that, you know, I don't have to share anymore. You know, so we're talking, you know, it adds up. It's a lot of money. And plus, we would want an HD projector and a 1080p capable projector until very recently was very, very expensive. You know, so, but the prompting factor is, you know, over the last month or so, the receiver / DVD player thing that we were using stopped working reliably. It still works sometimes, but it stopped working reliably. And then our projector bulb burnt out. And so we're looking at this going, okay, well, we're probably going to be getting some stuff anyway. So
how much is the bulb replacement anyway?
I checked today. You can get one for under $200. Like $150, $200.
Okay.
No, they're normally, they used to be $300, I guess, but I guess you can get them for like $150 or something now.
Okay.
But anyway, so we, you know, yes, we could have just replaced the bulb, gotten a cheap-ass DVD player, or we'd still need some sort of switcher to get the TiVos on there. We could have done something cheaper, or we could have, frankly, decided not to get anything. You know, I actually was making the devil's argument that that basically, yeah, we don't use it enough. You know, we can keep doing the TVs over the sling box. We can play DVDs on our computer. How often do we really all sit down as a family and watch something in the family room? Is it really worth it to do anything? Why don't we just, you know, throw out all the crap that doesn't work and don't even worry about replacing it? But you know, after some discussion, we came to the conclusion basically that said, you know, if we had better stuff that worked reliably,
We may sit down and watch it.
We may watch more often, you know, because one of the problems, you know, our projector is pretty old. Like we're saying, it's like 7 years old. About halfway through the 7 years, something happened and it got much, much louder. So basically, whenever you have this projector on, you know, in addition to whatever you're watching, you have this thing going, you know.
Oh, that's really special.
You know, and like, I don't mind, but Brandy's like, I can't stand that thing. It's so loud, you know? And so she's like, maybe I'd watch more often if it wasn't so damn loud, you know? So anyway, we looked around some options. You know, we even thought about, you know, well, what about getting an actual television instead of a projector? We looked at a couple and basically look, you have the sort of, when watching something on a projector, you need a room that's fairly dark, but we already have like blackout curtains in the room, so that's not really an issue. You know, yes, the physical televisions pop and are a little bit brighter sometimes, depending if you're in a room that isn't completely dark. But you know, we ended up saying, yeah, we're going to stick with a projector. Cause the thing is, you, for the same price, you can get just so much huger with a projector. And so you can cover the whole wall and stuff like that. And so, and the 1080p capable projectors just recently within the last 9 months to a year dropped below the $1,000 line for the cheapest ones. And yeah, you can spend like $4,000 and get a much better one. Hell, you can spend $30,000 and get one that's like the same quality as the kind that you go to a movie theater to. Almost. Those are probably $100.
That's right.
But you know, but you know,
you don't want to spend $100,000 on a projector, really? I was like,
I'm gonna pass on that one.
But you could sell seats. I mean, you could put some, you know, I mean, I've seen a, I went over here like nearby to this house. It was a they had this demo house over here that they were selling one of the builders that went belly up. It's a Toll Brothers bought it up, but they had this home theater in the top level. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, with the freaking ridiculous 30 grand projector, yeah, and with enough seating for like 30 people, but the theater seating for like 30 people.
Yep.
Okay. Like on those big freaking comfortable chairs. I walked in there. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous room I've ever seen in a house in my life. I mean, because it must have cost $300,000 to put that room together. Okay. Yeah. And I was just like, this is insane. I'm like, you know, I mean, seriously. And it's like, 30 people? When the fuck are you going to invite 30 people to watch a movie in the house?
Yeah.
So anyway.
I clicked the button. I got, you know, a full 1080p projector for just under $1,000. A new receiver that's capable of, you know, switching, you know, HDMI, HD inputs, does up conversion, all that kind of stuff with seven inputs. Cause I'm thinking eventually we're going to have four TiVos plus a Blu-ray player, plus maybe a game machine, you know, lots of stuff. So I didn't want to go with one that just had a couple inputs. Okay. So we got that, new speakers to go with that. You know, a Blu-ray player, just a basic Blu-ray player, really. I didn't go too fancy with that one. So it's on the way. It'll be here Wednesday. And then, probably by next weekend, I'll have it all set up and, you know, we'll see how it goes. Now, what we haven't done is upgrade the TiVos yet. I figure we'll probably wait till the end of the year on that and, see if, DirecTV does come out with a new model. And if so, if it's a crippled one or whether it has all the features of the standalone TiVos. But, you know, at the end of the year, we'll probably pull the trigger on upgrading the TiVos as well and probably the Sling boxes as well, because we'll still probably mostly watch them that way. You know, and we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, it should be interesting. Yeah, did I really need to spend a couple grand right now? Probably not. But, you know, it was sort of like... The existing system was busted, and even before it was busted, it was years and years out of date. So, you know, here we go. We'll see what happens. So the only actual Blu-ray content the only HD content we'll be watching is Blu-ray stuff, since we're not upgrading the TiVos yet. Those are still at standard definition, but, you know, the setup will now be capable of doing those, and they're even though I have no interest in this technology in the future, the receiver is actually 3D capable if we decided to go that route in the future. I still think that's stupid, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, have I lost you, Yvonne? Yvonne is not answering me. So anyway,
I hit the mute button. Jeez, I'm like talking over here by myself. I thought you were hearing me. What I was saying, it's kept very interesting. You're buying all this stuff, okay? Like after such a long time of staying out of this whole HD, you know, television thing. But you see. You're going to buy a Blu-ray player. And I got to be honest with you. I don't own one.
Yeah.
So you're doing most of your TV.
You go through there, right? So I have two thoughts.
I got an Apple TV.
I have two thoughts on that. One is, we should have taken a break. Whatever. We'll finish up. I have two thoughts on the Apple TV stuff. One, most of the movies we watch, we do Netflix. And so all I have to do is...
But don't they have that Netflix box thing now?
Yes, they do. And the Blu-ray player includes Netflix and Amazon Video On Demand. So you can do that streaming if you want. But, you know, Netflix also has an option. All I have to do is click a setting, and from now on, anything in our queue, if they have it in Blu-ray, they'll send it in Blu-ray. If they don't, they'll send it in DVD, which sounds absolutely fine to me. That's where we watch most of our movies. Second, I'm also thinking of getting a $120 little, you know, network video streamer thing that would basically let us take any non-DRM'd media content that we have on our computers, and it'll just be able to grab them over the network and throw them through the receiver. And so, you know, things that we may get from other sources, we could watch that way. And, you know, if we really wanted to watch the Apple stuff that we've purchased there or listen to the Apple Music or whatever,
we could do it through the stream.
We could. Well, we can't do it through that streaming box because that's all DRM'd. You require an Apple thing to watch.
Oh, right. The videos are still DRM. That's right. Right.
The music isn't. Even the un-DRM'd music from Apple is still AAC and less stuff plays that. But anyway, there are two options. One is get the Apple TV. You know, it's like $230 or something at this point. And they got to be on the verge of updating that thing again. The second, though, is, you know, just get a little dock and, you know, sync your iPhone or whatever to whatever you've bought on your computer and stick it in the dock on the receiver, and you can play all that crap that way.
And that'll work too. Yep. That'll work too.
And,
anyway, my thing is, me and my wife cannot agree enough on what to get on a movie to actually use Netflix.
This is not a problem at all. Like, we have four different queues in our family. You can set up different queues for different members of the family that operate independently.
Listen, that's not the problem. It's just that I don't think that I've sat down in front of these things. I've stared at them like a blank idiot. I can never pick anything.
So now the way I
can't do it.
So the way I handle that is very simple. I never sit down in front of it thinking, what do I want to watch this weekend? Instead, whenever I hear about a movie that might be interesting through whatever source, whether I'm reading about it, somebody mentions it, whatever, I just add it to my queue right then and there. And then whenever I get to it's time to watch a movie, I watch whatever I have from them and return it, and I get what's next on the list.
Oh, I can't do that. Every time I got something, and it's not like if I want to watch it right now, I usually will get this urge. You see, I'm like, if I get an urge to watch something, I want to watch it right now. Okay? It's like, and I'm like, if I got something else, I'm not going to watch that something else I got 2 weeks ago. I'll ignore it. Same thing happens with damn books. But anyway, all right. Let's take a break.
I'll probably have an update once I get everything set up and, you know, whether this was actually worth the $2,000. And, you know, lots of people spent a shitload more than $2,000 on their AV setups, so I don't feel that
hard. You shouldn't feel too bad. I think you did very admirably spending.
You can spend three or four just on a nice TV, you know.
I just spent on two TVs for our clubhouse here $2,000.
Yeah, so...
Okay, set up... It did include brackets, setup, installation, whatnot, or whatever, but still, anyway.
And you know, you can certainly spend a lot more than that, you know.
It wasn't too expensive. I mean, the TVs themselves were only $1,100. The one thing is getting the brackets, getting somebody to come over, getting the electricity run to where I wanted it, getting it installed, getting it mounted.
I was poking around at various places, too, like... You know, you can certainly get, you know, TVs for the price range you talked about. But if you're wanting a really nice, big-sized one, full 1080p, nice, bright quality, blah, 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 you can easily spend several thousand just on the TV. You know?
Oh, yeah. But what did we get? I got a pretty big one. It was a 50-inch plasma, Panasonic, $750.
Yeah. So, anyway.
$700.
Now, was it 1080p or 720? Right. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
720, actually, because need one for the clubhouse.
That makes a big difference. The 720s are a lot.
I know.
Okay.
I agree.
We've gone on too long. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about something more serious, perhaps. Back after this. Bring me the elephant.
for using your conference account information.
Okay, here we are. Yvonne, do you want to talk about WikiLeaks or share it or what?
Well, I've gotten my 2010 Congressional District Census commissioned by the Republican Party.
We're talking Republicans. Go for it.
Yeah, well, you know, so I don't understand why the Republicans think I'm a Republican, first of all. Okay. I mean, I have never given them money. They sent me a membership card once and everything for Christ. I have no idea why they think
so. Now, I remember back in college getting on their mailing list, and I thought you did this too, but I don't know if they would have kept up with you all this time. But I remember at one point...
I didn't at the time, but I remember we returned one of these mailers, and we did contribute a penny.
Yeah, we contributed a penny and attached the mailer to something heavy, if I remember right, but...
Yes, we did. You know, because we just thought it was just a little bit hilarious that they're sending you that. I mean, you know, of course, at the end of it, they do ask for my credit card information. But I'm just like, okay, let me just go through this. This is from Michael Steele, the guy who wants us out of Afghanistan. Okay. Strengthening our party for, well, anyway, I do want us out of Afghanistan too. So I'm like, actually, I'm not in disagreement with him on that. Strengthening our party for the 2010 elections is going to take a massive grassroots effort across all of America. This is why I have authorized a census to be conducted of every congressional district in the country. And close this year official 2010 Congressional District Census Register code number N10PP032 in your name as a representative of your area. Okay? Your registered census is one of a select few, I'm sure, being mailed into Florida's 19th Congressional District. Because of your high level of political involvement and steadfast commitment to the Republican Party, your personal input on the questions presented in your census document is critical to our party's future. Your completing and returning the census today is central to our party's ability to devise a winning Republican strategy in your area, especially as we take on the Democrats in the fight for the future of our nation. It is absolutely critical that we act immediately to build a state-of-the-art grassroots organization in every district around the country. Your participation will provide us with the detailed information we need concerning Florida's 19th Congressional District. We will use the answers you provide to help us win races for governor, U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, and other key campaigns all the way down the ballot. So please, Mr. Bo, take a moment to answer the important questions contained in your 2010 Congressional District Census, and do your best to get it back to the RNC headquarters by June 28th. Whoops, I already missed the deadline. Oh, well. Shame anyway. Yeah, I know. So, I'm like... You know, so of course I have my, you know, I didn't respond my send my census number N10PP032. Who comes up with this shit? This is what I keep thinking. I'm like, okay, so the questions. Okay, all right, there we go. It does look a lot like the census form, by the way, mind you. Okay. They kind of, you know, they make it look like it. Special notice. You have been selected to represent Republican voters in the Florida's 19th Congressional District. Census tracking code number N10PP032. Please remember that number. Very important. Strengthening your same bullshit. Okay, here's the questions. Political profile. Do you generally identify yourself as a conservative Republican, moderate Republican, liberal Republican, independent voter who leads Republican, or other? Okay, all right, let's see. Do you traditionally vote in all elections? Yes or no? Do you plan to vote in 2000 elections? Yes, no, unsure. If you vote in 2010 elections, are you more likely to vote for the Republican or Democrat candidate? So they've got that, Republican, Democrat. What age category are you? How do you think your views are to other how close do you think your views are to other voters in your community? From what media do you regularly receive your political news? It's got here like NBC, CBS, ABC all clumped into one. CNN/MSNBC clumped into one. News and websites, news websites, local newspaper, Friends, Fox News, separate. Facebook and MySpace, internet blogs, radio, Twitter, candidate websites, or national magazines. Kind of interesting, though, how they clump some of these the news networks together. Very, very, very interesting. How much does it concern you that the Democrats have total control of the federal government? Very much, not too much, not a concern on my opinion. Okay, Total Control. There we go. Okay, let's see. General issues. Do you think things in this country are generally going in the wrong direction? Or do you feel things are starting to improve? Wrong direction, starting to improve, unsure. Talk about a not a loaded question. Please indicate the top three issues that you believe are most important in your area. Jobs, economy, Medicare, Medicaid, foreign policy, environment, government expansion, federal spending, national security, education, taxes, blah, blah, a whole bunch of stuff. Which political party do you feel is best able to handle the following issues? Then they've got, first one is war in Iraq and Afghanistan, war on terror, the economy, taxes, healthcare, federal spending, social security, foreign policy, and a whole bunch below. How do you rate the Obama administration when it comes so far to dealing with America's major problems? Approved, disapproved, no opinion. Okay, that's not loaded. How do you rate the Democrat-controlled Congress? Approved, disapproved, no opinion. How do you rate your state government? Approved, disapproved, no opinion. Okay. Then domestic issues. How confident are you that America's economy will improve in the next 6 months? Strongly confident, not too confident, somewhat confident, not too confident at all. Which of the following factors do you feel is most adversely affecting the economy in your area? Loss of jobs, burdensome taxes, threat of terrorism, loss of retirement value, severe government regulations, growth of government spending, unstable real estate market, or other. Okay. Which of the following is the single most important economic issue facing you and your family? Healthcare costs, inflation, rising prices overall, loss of retirement, investment values, unemployment, high taxes. Here's where the loaded questions come in. Do you believe the huge, costly Democrat-passed stimulus bill has been effective in creating jobs or stimulating America's economy? Yes, no, no opinion. Okay. Do you think the record trillion-dollar federal deficit the Democrats are creating with their out-of-control spending is going to have disastrous consequences for our nation? Yes, no, no opinion. Would you like Congress to pass tax cuts to further stimulate our nation's economy? I'm like, you know, we should be making money to cut taxes, but I digress. Do you worry that the Obama administration is committed to greatly expanding the government's role in your life? Yes, no, no opinion. Are you concerned with their current levels of government spending? Okay. Are you concerned that other countries like China buy up hundreds of billions of dollars of our national debt, that they will have more control direct to our nation's future economic policies? Do you approve of the federal government's takeover of America's healthcare system? Do you agree that all Americans should be required to have some form of health insurance? Do you trust the Obama administration to keep America's borders secure to stop the flow of illegal immigrants into our country? Do you support the Obama administration's efforts to grant amnesty and American citizens to illegal immigrants presently living within our borders? I'm like, you know, am I insane? But wasn't President Bush one of the first ones to actually offer this like 4 years ago, or am I out of my mind? Did I skip that part? Okay.
No, you did not.
Do you believe the global war? Okay, all right, so I'm not insane.
His party didn't really like him for it.
Okay, that's true. This is the Republican Party. Do you believe that global warming is an issue that must be dealt with immediately? So there you go. So this is my census form that I got, and there's a couple of other stupid questions. And here at the end, I am asked to contribute either $500, $250, $100, $50, and, you know, $25. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee, it says here at the end. So I don't know. What do you think of these things? I mean, I don't know. What's your opinion on these mailers? By the way, they only paid 8 cents to mail this? Wow.
Basically, my opinion is people should be able to mail whatever the hell they want. And I understand.
Oh, I know.
I understand they're trying to be somewhat misleading, and some people will think it is an actual census form, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, come on. I think it's idiotic. I think I don't know how effective they end up being. Presumably, they have some metrics around that. I don't know. It seems like not
how effective do you think they are with these? That's my question. I mean, you know, I guess that's my point.
Look,
I mean,
the bottom line is, I don't think these are going to be very effective at all at growing their contributor base. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong here. But I think what this does do is, if this gets mailed to somebody who's already a true believer, it may get them to write the check.
Yeah, okay, I guess that's true. I wonder where they get the addresses for. Where the fuck did they get the thing that I'm a Republican? I don't get it. I have no idea. I mean, I haven't done it. I've never, you know... I mean, I've never done anything to indicate to them that I am a Republican, so that just find it really strange. Okay, all right, so anyway, so that was I just thought that was kind of amusing that I got that in the mail. So, wanted to go over it. All right.
Okay, with I don't have any real additional comments on it. It seems like a typical semi-slimy political email, but a regular mail.
That's the thing about it. Not even email. That's regular mail.
And you know, frankly,
what does that tell you about the Republicans?
I don't know. The Democrats send crap mail too. I mean, it's all, you know.
I should have saved a few more of the pieces I got. I got a couple actually also from the Democratic candidates, basically throwing shit against each other for the governor and Senate seats. So I did get those. So there are, I mean, I think it is still a pretty effective method of getting to people, okay? So, I mean, it still does get a lot of people. So,
yeah,
I mean, it
know.
Is costly.
I'm like, you know, it'd be nice if the USPS hurried up and went out of business so that nobody could send bulk mail anymore. You know, if they had to pay FedEx to deliver all this crap, we wouldn't get it.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. The Republicans paid 8.9 cents to mail me that thing. Yeah. That's it. It was a pretty thick envelope.
Of course, the reality is they just moved to, like, email spam, which is even cheaper. But, you know, it's easier to filter as well.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be back and talk about some other stuff. We'll be right back.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
His Day by Michael Gassou. Conrad sits at his desk, fluoresced by routine, the arthritis of organization. His annual evaluation is a pineapple bomb, ticking. At lunch, Conrad is a bundle of celery boiled soft. Conrad takes one for the home team, the long halls and the bustling arsenals of the workplace. He consumeth the wonder bread of anxious toil, networks the small vexations of the heart. Dead from the ankles up, Conrad zombies the aisles of Quickie Mart. Conrad returns to his lair. Immersed in the jacuzzi light of his flat screen, he relaxes into homogeneity, diffidence, the small beer of American idolatry.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okie doke, we are back. Okay, Vaughn, two semi-serious things that actually happened this week. We got the Shirley Sherrod kerfluffle, and we have WikiLeaks dumping a whole bunch of Afghanistan documents. Which you want to talk about first?
You know, given that the WikiLeaks thing happened such a short time ago, why don't we talk about the kerfluckle?
Yes.
Kerfuckle. It's kerfluckle. Kerfucker.
How do you say that again? Something? Simon and Kerfunkel. Anyway,
I Garfunkel.
Kerfuckle.
It wasn't. Well, it was two guys.
Two guys.
It was two guys, and it was Garfunkel.
Not Kerfuckle.
No. I don't think so.
Anyway,
I don't know. Were they was Simon and Garfunkel considered a band? I thought it was a duo.
Well, it is a duo, but like, it. I don't know.
Did they carry around the same band?
Probably not.
Okay, I'll research that. Anyway, all right, let's go to Garfunkel.
You get back to me on that. So frankly, you know, this is yet another case where I probably have not followed all the details as well as some of our listeners probably have. I'm just going to put that out there. But basically the situation was, Andrew, how do you say his name? Breitbart. I've only seen it in print.
Cool.
Breitbart, Breitbart. He's the one who broke this thing.
I don't know. I found out about it after they offered to rehire her. I didn't even know the person got fired.
You see, you're so far behind. Okay, so it's
I know.
It's Breitbart.com, Breitbart.com. He's a right-wing newsy guy, He runs sort of a little newswire type operation, but it's sort of, there's TV clips, some other crap. Basically, he tries to be a newswire, but it's very conservative oriented, let's say, at least in the political coverage. And he received, through some source of his, a video clip that had this woman, Shirley Sherrod, I think that's how you pronounce her name, basically making some comments about how when she was in a previous position a long time ago...
I gotta take this call. Hold on one second.
Okay. So while Yvonne takes this call, we're just gonna go ahead and take a break. We'll be back and continue after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 yes, 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 this is a break, yes, this is a break, 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 yes, it is a break, and now the break is over.
Oh. Okay, sorry for the interruption. Anyway, we're back. I was just saying, the video was leaked to this Breitbart guy, and it basically showed her... talking about a time where at a previous job before she was in the Obama administration, she was in some way in charge of, helping people in need. And there was a farm family who was going to be foreclosed on whatever. And she talked about how she felt that she had perhaps discriminated a bit against this one couple who had come to her for help. Because they were white, and she is black, and she felt like she was not giving them proper consideration. But and so Breitbart took this clip and, put it out there saying, she admits she's a racist and she has racist motives and she's working in the administration now, blah, blah, blah. And so the Tom Vlesak, which is the cabinet secretary in charge of the organization she now works for, basically, fired her almost on the spot once this hit the news. Of course, then it turned out somebody released the entire video that this clip was part of. And she said that, and then she said, but then I looked into the case more, and this made me realize that what I was doing was something wrong that I had to fight against, and that it didn't really matter what race these people were. What matters was that they were in need, and I used this as a learning experience to make sure that everything I did in the future, I was very cognizant of not letting those kind of biases into what I do, blah, 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 and I helped that family, and, and then it turns out she's been friends with that family, and they've kept in touch with her ever since. And that family has been interviewed and been like, she saved our farm. She did everything she possibly could for us, blah, blah, blah. Basically, it turned out that rather than this being an example of this woman being racist and discriminating against, white people, it was the opposite. It was her basically going through a thing talking about how she learned to not be that way and how it was very important and blah, 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 blah. And so this, of course, immediately once that came out, blew up. And eventually the cabinet secretary who fired her had to call her and apologize and basically offer her a new job. Obama called her directly to apologize. The one person who has not apologized yet is this Breitbart guy who published this thing in the first place without checking it out at all. He's basically...
Or probably himself actually clipped it and just made it look, worse.
He says he never saw the full thing, but he is also saying that now this woman is being a racist by calling him out for publishing this thing and for some of the things she said afterwards, and that also the that even if what she said truly wasn't whatever she was speaking apparently in this clip in front of a gathering of the NAACP, but that the reaction of the crowd showed that the NAACP is racist. Anyway, and so that's basically the thing here. I haven't heard, it's probably been reported, but I haven't paid enough attention to hear whether or not she's actually accepted the idea of going back into the administration for a job, or whether she's basically told them to go screw themselves at this point. But, you know, anyway, that's what this was all about.
Okay.
Yeah, I should also mention that I did get a note from, let me pull it up real quick, from my father. Let's see if I can bring this up quickly. But anyway, apparently, I've got like 2 degrees of, separation or whatever from this woman. And apparently I don't think my parents knew her directly, but they knew her father or her husband or something like that. And basically, you know, even before the full thing blew up, I had email from them saying that, you know, this is complete bullshit. Okay, here's what my dad said. My mom, I'm paraphrasing, my mom and my dad worked with her and her husband. They worked with her husband and knew her when she was a teenager in Georgia. His memory is vague, but she's pretty sure that they visited her family's house at some point along with other people from that organization, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, interesting, you know, somewhat connection there, somewhat vague, but, you know. Anyway, I think that's all there is to say about that situation.
Okay.
The basic thing here, though, is that, you know, the Obama administration also, apparently, there was a leak that said the morning that this happened, there were a bunch of sort of self-congratulatory high fives and such in the White House, not involving Obama directly, but some of the staff, basically about, you know, how good they were about how quickly they reacted to this, and they were right on top of this, and they took care of it right away rather than letting, you know, the Fox News cycle take over and let this blow up into some big thing. How they showed they were right on top of it by firing this woman right away. No, you know, and then meanwhile, of course, what it really shows here, and, you know, you could argue that it would depend, you know, if it turned out to be true, maybe they were right, but they did no checking whatsoever. You know, a right-wing newswire guy publishes something, and then the people on Fox
News... And then they don't check it. Yeah.
And then the people on Fox News start jumping up and down about it, and yeah, they don't check it at all. They're just like, ooh, this Breitbart and Fox News say this is true, therefore it must be true. Let's can this woman, you know? And come on. You know...
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
There's a place where...
I mean, if the opposite had happened as well, I would have also felt the same. I mean, say if it would have been under the Bush administration, some Democrats published a video like that, you can't go and just fire somebody without checking whether it's true or not. I mean, you just can't. I mean, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just stupid.
It's stupid, and it shows weakness. I mean, come on. You know, Fox says something,
totally.
And you go jump through a window because
you
of
go,
what they said.
Yeah, because exactly.
You know?
Anyway.
Show some freaking backbone, you know? But
no.
Anyway.
Anyway. All right. Well, it's you know, they apologize to the woman, and she's been the least, you know, publicly vindicated, and so at least if she decides to take her job back, she can do that, and you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so I think they offered her a different job, but yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Well, okay, whatever. Let's take another break. We'll come back right back, and I think there's one other quick thing to talk about, and then we'll be out. We'll be right back.
Way to health, said the CDC to me, wash hands to be safe and healthy. The second way to health, said the CDC to me, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The third way to health, said the CDC to me, manage stress, bundle up for warmth and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The fourth way to hell, said the CDC to me. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The fifth way to hell, said the CDC to me. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The sixth way to hell, said the CDC to me. Fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The seventh way to hell, said the CDC to me. Get exempt from screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The eighth way to hell, said the CDC to me. Get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The ninth way to hell, said the CDC to me. Monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The tenth way to hell, said the CDC to me. Practice fire safety, monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The 11th way to hell, said the CDC to me. Prepare dinner safely, practice fire safety, monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy. The 12th way to hell, said the CDC to me. Eat well and get moving, prepare dinner safely, practice fire safety, monitor the children, get your vaccinations, get exams and screenings, fasten belts while driving. Be smoke-free. Don't drink and drive, manage stress, bundle up for warmth, and wash hands to be safe and healthy.
For the most accurate health information, visit www.cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO 24/7.
Okie doke, here we are. One last thing.
Well, the reason we were, well, just so I could clarify, the reason we were interrupted is because my wife was calling because, well, yesterday I got hurt, okay?
What happened, Yvonne?
Well, I was at the gym with my trainer yesterday doing some exercises, and I hadn't realized...
Didn't something like this happen last week? You mentioned you were at the gym, and then you tried...
3 weeks ago, yes. Okay. All right. This is a different injury. So this is, shows you how old I'm getting. But this is different, actually. This is what happened. I hadn't noticed, and I guess my trainer's telling me, you got to start really telling about the signs that your body's telling you about stuff. When I got to the gym, something didn't feel right, okay? I was trying to do and I must admit that I had exercised the night before, so then I was exercising again in the morning. So I was doing a couple of back-to-backs. I had exercised a lot on Friday, and then I exercised again on Saturday. And I think I was dehydrated, okay? And I felt like when I was doing certain exercises, I felt like my hamstrings and my legs didn't feel quite right. And I mentioned something, but what I didn't realize, I was cramping up, okay? Which was happening. Okay, I didn't realize I was cramping up until I started doing this exercise where I was jumping. I had to do where I was jumping and landing on my feet, and I got a cramp on my right calf at the moment that I jumped and landed. When I landed with my right foot, it sounded like something snapped, okay? My trainer freaked, okay, because she heard the snap, okay? And I thought that somebody dropped something behind me and hit my leg because it hurt so hard. I turn around and I don't see anybody, and I'm like – and I heard this – thing, and I'm like, oh my god, what the hell did I do? And it was just that when I landed, the leg was cramped, and what I did was pull the cramped muscle, okay? And that was the snapping sound, okay? So I collapsed to the ground in pain, okay? My wife was at the gym, and all of a sudden she sees me, like, she is working out on a treadmill, and my trainer is helping me walk across the gym, and my wife sees that they're helping me, they're basically carrying me across the gym. She's like, oh my God, what the fuck happened? Okay? And, yeah, so, but I'm feeling better right now. You know, it was just a cramp, it's just that I pulled a muscle, as that, I mean, there doesn't seem to be that I snapped the muscle or I did anything. It's just, you know, at first she just thought that I maybe, no, it's just, thought at first the sound was so hard that she thought I maybe, I pulled an Achilles or something, you know, that I said, but no, nothing like that. It's just, you know, it's just a muscle. I was just cramped. I just pulled it and, you know, I was walking again today. And so just with a little bit of a pain and I should be fine in a day or two. So anyway, so that was my, you know, so I don't know. I'm pushing 40, and I'm not.
You know, you don't say that because that implies I am too, and that's just too scary for words.
It's just, you know, we can't do the same shit we used to be able to do. What do you want me to tell you?
So
it is what it is. So anyway, so that was what that happened with that. Just, you know, that I'm walking now. Yesterday I couldn't walk. My wife had to even not go to work yesterday. I couldn't walk at all. I you know, it was just ridiculous. I was just feeling so much pain. It was just impossible. So
excellent.
Anyway,
excellent. So
all right.
Yeah, along those, it's not directly an aging thing, but I'll mention as well. You know.
Let me mention Simon and Garfunkel were considered a duo, not a band.
I consider anything with more than one person a band. I don't care. You know?
Okay.
You and I, we're a band. All right. We're a band right now.
We're a band. We're a band right now. We're a
band. That's right.
Where's the musical instruments?
Oh, wait,
I got a guitar over here.
Hold on. A guitar?
Wait. Well, it's my wife's guitar. There we go. I can reach it. There we go. All right, so you go ahead, Palau.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what were you going to say? Yeah. I was going to add some music to it in a second. But
oh, okay. So, I can talk about how... I guess we won't really talk about the WikiLeaks stuff. It just came out. They dumped a whole bunch of documents about Afghanistan. There's been some articles in some major newspapers. But as we were recording this, it only happened a few hours ago. We'll wait till next week, see what comes of it. Basically, it's more stuff saying we're screwed in Afghanistan, from what I've gathered so far. And, you know... What I was about to say was along the aging lines, and this isn't directly an aging thing, but this is a, you know, having an almost 1-year-old in the house thing, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's right. You do have a 1-year-old.
Not quite yet.
Keep forgetting about that.
10 months, 10 and a half months ish. You know, I'll tell you right now, I Brandy's going back to school, so she's taking classes. Amy is babysitting the baby while Brandy's in school and I'm in work. When I get home, it's usually my turn with the baby. So, like, you know, any other thing, this podcast is one of the few remaining things that I do out of sort of my own personal list of things that I would like to be doing with my free time. you know, there are all kinds of things I'd like to do. There are computer projects I'd like to do. There's stuff I'd like to read. There's, you know, all kinds of that kind of stuff. And, you know, those things just don't happen anymore. And, you know, having the previous child come to me when she was already 7 years old, it is quite a bit different than having, as Yvonne provides an accompaniment, it is quite a bit different than having the very young child, because basically, you know, yes, life revolves around that. And so I'll be, you know, there's just lots and lots of attention required, and you know, it's hard to pull out that hour to do something else that you want to do on your own. And the other thing is, I haven't taken a vacation in a long time. You know, I took a few days when relatives were visiting when the new baby. Well, first of all, when the baby arrived, I took a couple weeks. Okay, and then various times when relatives have come to visit since then, I've taken a few days here or there. But I just noticed the other day that, you know, my accumulated vacation time at work has reached the maximum, the amount at which I don't accumulate anymore if I don't use it.
You're a dumb fuck. Let me tell you something.
I mean, it just recently got there.
The one thing that happened. Yeah. Well, but let me tell you something. Now, you know, given that you have a child that's recently born, I'm surprised that you let that happen. Okay, first of all, because I figured you would have been taking about as much vacation as you can in order to do that. Okay, first of all. Second of all, I gotta tell you that I was
surprised because mentally, I thought I'd taken a lot. I took like a bunch of time when he was born. I took more time when a bunch of relatives came, and I thought, you know, I'd used it all up. But of course, what I did, I used everything that I had as of when he was born, but of course it keeps accumulating. So I haven't.
Well, I will tell you that I went in like my current job. I have not been bashful about taking any vacation, and my boss is so funny. Like because last week I went to I told you guys I went to Napa Valley. I went to California and I came back. And as I'm taking a vacation on Monday, I'm reminding my boss. Because on Monday I was at the office, but Tuesday I was going to be with some customers, so therefore I wasn't going to be actually at the office. I had a number of customer appointments, so I was reminding my boss. You do know that on Wednesday I'm going to Napa Valley, and I'm like, he's like. Like, didn't you just go last month to Colombia? Yes, I did. And I'm like, aren't you going to feel just a little bit guilty sitting over there drinking wine and letting us work? No, sir, I will not. That was my response. So therefore, you know what? I'm like, you know, it's like, you got to take all your damn vacation.
Well, yeah, and so you know? I noticed that the other day, like within the last week is when I noticed that I'd actually hit that limit. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, first of all, I'm wasting vacation time because it's not accumulating more.
Right.
Yeah, you know? But
that's
so,
right.
So I'm like, at the very least here, I'm going to take a few Fridays. You know, and make long weekends out of that.
I would say that would be a brilliant idea.
And you know, I've got a couple other things going on at work I'm not ready to talk about here yet. But, you know, I'm thinking that there might be a time coming up before too long where I can actually take, like, some actual time and actually take a real vacation. And that would be – and whether or not I go somewhere or not, I tell you, I could use that. I could take a nice – I could use a week or two, you know?
Yeah, I mean, why the hell not? You know, I think it'd be great.
And frankly, the last real vacation I've taken that wasn't just stay home at do stuff or whatever, you know, was years and years and years and years ago. I mean, it was one of my damn random vacations, like to, you know, the last one was when my random vacation to Idaho in like 2003. You know, every other vacation I've taken since then has just been a few days here or there to, like, do stuff at home or something like that. It hasn't been a real, like, we're going to pick up the family and go somewhere type vacation. We haven't done that in forever. So.
Dude,
and,
I would suggest
and actually,
that
we
you,
haven't done, we haven't actually done that ever as a family. Like, because that last vacation was before, you know, I was a couple with Brandy and had Amy and all that kind of stuff.
You know, there are a number of nice options within driving distance of where you live.
There are.
Probably to
there
go,
are.
Like, probably just go, maybe rent a house, stay there for a week or so or something, or do something like that, you know, go and, like, get something to know something. I think that you are, you know, you should be mandated to do this as soon as possible.
Yeah, there are definitely some interesting options. You know, the closest thing I did come with Brandy and Amy was when we were running from some hurricane in California. Not California, hurricane in California. Florida.
Yeah, hurricane in California? Oh, okay.
When we were in Florida, some hurricane or other was coming through, and we decided to evacuate, and we headed towards Pensacola first, and then the hurricane followed us to Pensacola, so we went to New Orleans, and we spent a few days in New Orleans, and that's the closest we came. We packed up the kids, the pets, everything, like a bunch of stuff, and just drove to New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. All right, well, it's been a while, so.
Anyway, that's it.
All right.
We're done. Thank you all for joining us.
We're
out. Kerbuchin's Corner. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with questions, comments, thoughts, blah, 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 blah. And
blah, 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 blah.
And we will talk to you next week. Tell your friends to listen and see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We're out.
See ya.